He's the one in trouble.
Look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we'll start reading verse 1 here. Mark chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "And they came over on the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with feathers and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed of the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their post. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, 'Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee.'" I might not know it, just reading the chapter. It'll actually be a Christmas message. Like I said, I'd read Mark 5, you might think, well, there's a Christmas message. But hopefully, before we get to the end, we'll make a Christmas application out of it. Now, I'll tell you this, for anybody who gets mad, if you do get mad, I just ask you to hear me out before you get mad. Sometimes I make people mad not intending to. Like, for instance, you know, just before we even got started, I was making people mad. But I will tell you, I like Christmas. I'm just, you know, confession's good for the soul. I pray every year for a good Christmas. I am poor white trash, so I pray. You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. I have a good Christmas every year because I ask for one. You know, I mean, God, I mean, it's embarrassing how much I do pray for a good Christmas. I grew up, Christmas was a good time for me, and I think it'd almost be a shame for me to grow up dragging my kids to a Bible-believing church, and they have a lousy Christmas and no shoes and all that, you know. But and they do have shoes, and they do have good Christmases. You know, God's good to me. He's good to my family. Like I said, I pray every year. The last, I don't know, however many years we've been having kids, I ask that God give us a good Christmas. I was thinking about it last night. It's Esther chapter 5. I'll just read it to you, but there's something here in Esther 5. Now, Esther's about to go in. There's this part here where the king holds out the golden scepter. As Esther 5, verse 2, it says, "And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, 'What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom.'" Boy, I'm going to mention this last time I was here. All of a sudden I read it and it sounded familiar. But, man, that's an opportunity and that's a blessing. Hey, ask me whatever you want up to half the kingdom. Boy, God says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all they're able to ask or think. That's really something. Now, you know what? You ever read in Romans chapter 8? It says you know how to pray for it. You don't know how to pray as you ought. Meaning we don't pray as good as we should. And then here's this opportunity. Ask me for anything. What do most people ask for? I mean, really. I mean, it's embarrassing. Christmas is kind of stupid. Not to hurt your feelings. It's kind of a stupid thing to pray about. Oh, Lord, please let us have a nice couple days of the year. Man, there's so much going on. You selfish person, and you pray your kids get a bucket of toys every year. You can ask me for anything. How about some toys for my kids? That's embarrassing. Someday you'll go to the judgment seat and God will say, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." You could ask for anything. That's what you spent all that time asking about. But I say that's confession. That's group therapy for me. Yeah, you know, I say that. I like Christmas. I just think it's a shame how much I pray about it. And this year, I really didn't even pray much for it. And I fully expect to have a good Christmas again this year. Yeah. And I'll even say this. And you know, I pray for a good Christmas. Like I said, how many years we've had kids, we've always had one. One year, I know you guys bought toys for my kids. That was real nice of you. That went away to, you know, a long way to helping the kids have a good Christmas. The starter went out in our van. This church paid for it. That was right, I don't know, right around Christmas time. Last year we were here in November, and I preached. You guys gave me a good love offering, and that went towards a nice Christmas. I don't say that with my hand out. I'm just saying, you know, the Bible says give honor to whom honor is due. And it's nice, I guess, to come and say, you know, thank you face to face, you know. But anyways, so I do like Christmas. With all that said, and I think you probably already noticed, you know, I should probably whisper it. You know, Christmas isn't a real Bible holiday. Does everybody know that? You know, nobody in the Bible celebrates Christmas. You don't read about Peter and Paul and John getting together, hanging out, hanging up a wreath and, you know, putting stockings. You don't read any of that kind of stuff. That's not saying against Christmas. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just saying it's not in the Bible. You know, I went to a Catholic high school. Actually, half the time I went to high school, into Catholic high school. But we had a Bible for religious classes, and I used to just kind of read it. That's probably why I ended up here today. They told me not to read that thing for a reason. But anyways, I remember reading this in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, kind of like, you know, you kind of look at it and say, oh, you know, I always say I need a chalkboard, and I need a record, whatever that sound is. Yeah. A record, everybody knows what I'm talking about. What? Somebody make the noise for me. He had a record scratch. But I read Ecclesiastes 7 in the Bible, and it's like, whatever that sound is. It says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. You know what else I like besides Christmas? I like my birthday. You know, my birthday's in October. I start telling my wife and kids about June. Hey, you know, my birthday's coming up. And then I read this, and I'm like, what do you mean the day of your death's better than the day of your birth? You know, and then, you know, I think, you know, you're trying to be spiritual. Jesus died. I guess technically Easter's better than Christmas, but come on, who likes Easter more? You know, I was a kid, but anyways, and I say that, you know, there's only two birthdays celebrated in the Bible. Two of them. One of them's Herod. Everybody remember Herod? What happened on his birthday? Stepdaughter comes in, dances for him. John the Baptist gets his head cut off. Yeah. The other birthday in the Bible is Pharaoh, way back in, what, Genesis 39. You know what happens after his birthday? Somebody gets their head cut off. Two birthdays, two beheadings in the Bible. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm not against Christmas. I think it's a good time with your family. I think it's a good time. You can bring glory and honor to God. You know, I think people are more apt to think about Jesus. And it's little baby Jesus, but at least it's some form of Jesus people are more apt to think about. You know, it's less and less every year. I mean, they thought less about little baby Jesus this year than they did the year before. And then they thought less of him that last year than the year before, and so on and so forth. But, you know, it's still good. You know, I was a kid. I mentioned in our church, they used to call them creasers. You know, you have people show up for Christmas and Easter. I bet there's still creasers in the world. They just don't come to my church. They probably don't come to your church either, the creasers. But I know they're still out there. Yeah. You know, as people get together on Christmas and they actually pray for, you know, thank God, you know, ask his blessing over their meal. I'm just saying, I don't think it's every year. A couple times at my mom's house, we'll go there, and they'll say, why don't you pray before we eat? And it's kind of like, there's that record scratch thing I need again. Because you know how many hogs and cattle we have shoveled down the back of our throat, and nobody's ever thought about saying one word of prayer about it, and then Christmas rolls around, and maybe you ought to pray a little bit before we eat this, you know, dead piece of pig meat or whatever it is we're going to have this year. But anyway, I say, I'm not against it. I'll tell you, look at the Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. Look at verse 31. This is a good verse. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31. Bible says, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. See that? Using this world and not abusing it. You know what you get from that? You should get from that. It's possible for you to use the world and the things of the world without abusing the things of the world. It's possible for you to do something like that. I'll just tell you, you guys have a nice TV. There are some of the brethren out there that would have a holy fit with you having a TV like that. I'll just tell you, you can use that TV without abusing it. I mean, that should make sense to you. You can use all sorts of stuff without abusing it. I mean, there's a line and people cross it. I mean, you can use Christmas, just don't abuse it. I mean, you guys got the place, it looks nice, it's decorated. You know, there's no elves and reindeer on your altar. You know, you had a Christmas program, you have kids come to church, you wanted their parents to come. You can use Christmas, but don't be stupid about it. You know, use something, don't abuse it. Now, I'll just tell you, there are some of the brethren, and their ministry for one whole month of the year is nothing but bashing Santa Claus and Christmas trees. I'll tell you, if it wasn't for bashing Santa Claus, I don't know what they do from Thanksgiving to Christmas. But there's some of them that are out there. Now, I'll tell you this. I'm a real negative dude. I'm pessimistic. I'm cynical. I always think I'm a real negative thinking dude. And here's a verse. Look at Proverbs 22. Look at verse 6. I'm thinking a verse you probably know. I'm sure you've read this before. Like I said, it's positive. It's not negative. Negative is thou shalt not, right? Here's something you're supposed to do. Positive. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Some people's Christian rearing of their children is, hey, you, don't do this, right? What, dancing, don't do it. Smoking, don't do it. Talking to girls, don't talk to them, right? That's not what the verse is telling you to do. It's telling you, train up a child in the way he should go. Meaning, you know, if the kid's busy doing right, you don't have to holler at them all the time to quit smoking and dancing and talking to those girls. All right? Just train them up in the way he should. If a kid has nothing to do, he's going to find something to do. Right. If you don't teach him the right thing to do, what else is left for him? It's easier to stumble into doing the wrong thing. Right. That's what it is that there's a positive thing. Everything doesn't have to be negative. You know, and I say that, I'm a real negative dude. Like I said, I know there's some of the brethren a whole month of the year, that's all they have to do is bash. You know, I'm not for Santa Claus. I'll just tell you, he hasn't come to my house the whole time I've been married. I don't like the dude, you know. But I can do something all month. I didn't bash him all the month long. Now I'll show you. Here's a verse. Look at it, Jeremiah chapter 10. Because I know some of the brethren, they like verse 3, and they like verse 4. Come this time of the year. Jeremiah 10, verse 3. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. See? There's a Christmas. I think it is. I think it's a Christmas tree. You know, I like this song. Silver. I remember Burl Ives. I remember the little puppet from, you know, when I was a kid watching on TV. Silver and gold, silver. That's this verse right here. And the brethren harp on it, but it's, hey, don't stop there, stupid. Read verse 5. They're upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. So he tells you, you know, the customs of the people are vain. Yeah, it's vain. It's kind of stupid. You walk out in the woods, you cut a tree down, you drag it back to the house. What'd you do all that for? I'm just to hang it up at the corner with lights on it. You know, hey, it's vain. It's what the heathen do, but it ain't going to hurt you. It's just a dead wood in the corner with, you know, tinsel and lights on it. What do you think it's going to do? You know, but anyways. So the verse I want, though, when I say all that, you can use Christmas. You can abuse Christmas. You can use the TV. You can abuse the TV. Right? I mean, have a little bit of discernment about you. It'll go a long way in your Christian life. And I say all that, the verse I want, look at Mark chapter 5 again. Mark chapter 5, what I want is verse 19. Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, you know, not to go with him, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. I think it was about a year ago, a guy gave me a pile of books. It's a bunch of Spurgeon sermons. I don't know if it's all of them, but it's a bunch of them. And I actually spent some time looking through there, just kind of curious. You know, Baptist like Spurgeon, you know, by the way. But I thumbed through it looking, you know, kind of wondering what Spurgeon has in way of Christmas verses. None. Actually, there's one half a Christmas message. And this was his verse. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. That's what he's, you know, Spurgeon's from England. I'm from Chicago. Just I'm not even lying. Just in the car on the way over here, they were teasing me about the way I talk. So Spurgeon's more eloquent than me. But what he said sounded more flowery than this, but this is what I got from it. What he says is, hey, Christmas is kind of stupid. He said, you know, everybody takes off work. They all go home. They go to their ma's house. They eat a goose or a turkey. Don't boycott Christmas. We all know it's stupid. Do it. He told them, go home to your ma's house, eat a goose, and then go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. Everybody's going home. Go home with them and tell them how good God's been to you while you were there. That's what I got out of it. You know, and people still, quote unquote, go home for the holidays. You know, hardly ever. I mean, you do hear a little bit, but I mean, not as much as you think. You don't really hear too many Christmas hymns. You hear a lot about Santas and reindeers and snowmen and all this stuff. You know what you hear a ton of this time of year under Christmas music stuff? Is songs about going home. Why? Because everybody does go home for Christmas. You know, for the most part. Yeah. You know, I got a small list. I'll be home for Christmas. No place like home for the holidays. Celebrate me home. I'll be home with bells on. Bring him home Santa. Christmas in Dixie. Christmas in Texas. Colorado Christmas. Tennessee Christmas. You know what? All those are places somebody considers home. And they're singing about Christmas back home. That's what they all amount to. What else? Please come home for Christmas. You know, the list goes on. Even Jingle Bells. Everybody remember Jingle Bells? Everybody know what Jingle Bells really is? It was a Thanksgiving song about going home to grandma's house for Thanksgiving. You know, quote unquote, home for the holidays. You know, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving used to be the busiest travel day in America. But now everybody gets off, you know, now people used to get off Wednesday. First they're off Thursday, then they're off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now they're off Tuesday, Wednesday. Now they're just like 2 weeks. So now Wednesday's no longer the busiest travel day of the year. The Sunday after Thanksgiving is. Because you might get off Tuesday, you might get off Wednesday. We all got to be back, you know, on Monday. That's what they're all doing. So what do? They pack up, and as people do, they go home for the holidays. You're going home. That's what he says. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but say to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he told the man, go home. I should mention this, before we move on. You know, the guy had a home. I don't know if he had a mom and a dad, maybe the Bible doesn't tell you. Maybe a husband or wife and kids. I got confused. But anyways, the guy was possessed with a devil. While the guy's possessed with a devil, he didn't want to go to the house. There's something in that. Ever meet somebody who never wants to go home? Something's not right. I mean, the Lord's give you a home, go to it. You know, spend some time there. I harp all the time. I'll just tell you, and this is a side note, but look at Daniel chapter 12. All the time I mention this, the typical American lives a satanic lifestyle. And I'll show you, Daniel 12, verse 4. He says something here, and I remember, you know, getting in the Bible, and this verse was, you know, kind of quote unquote expounded upon unto me, and I was like, it never seemed right to me, the exposition. But it says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. So the time of the end, here's the sign of the times of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So when I heard this, 1996, when I heard it, you know what? You can get on a plane, brother. You can go to Hong Kong, or you can go to New York City. That's running to and fro. I don't think so. You know, they shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. One day, it just occurred to me. I wanted to find out something. I pulled my phone out of my pocket. You know, what year did Burl Ives write Silver and Gold? My phone will tell me. I'm not going to look it up right now. You know, knowledge shall be increased. I ain't any smarter than I was. You know, people aren't any smarter, but now all of a sudden, knowledge is increased. You know, quick, what's Elvis's first number one song? I'll type it in. I know. All right. And the other thing is, we were talking about Job right before church. God asked the devil, he said, hey, where you been? It's paraphrased, not the King's English. Hey, where you been? What does he say he's been doing? Running. Yeah, walking to and fro in the earth, going here and there. You know what most people are doing? They're not getting on planes. Yeah, some people get on a plane to go to Hong Kong. You know what most people are doing? You know what our life looks like? We got three girls. They're on the swim team. So we pick them up. We go to the swim team. Now the boy wrestles. We pick him up. Bring him to wrestling. The girls are an American Heritage girls. We pick them up. Bring them over. Running to and fro, man. And that's everybody's living like that. I just say that. I think it's a satanic lifestyle. Hey, devil, what have you been up to? Oh, you know, going to and fro here and there. Just like everybody else is doing nowadays. And I say that, pointing, like I said, it's a side note. Here's a guy possessed with a devil. Jesus says, hey, go back home. Meaning the guy had a home. He just didn't want to be there because he had devils. You know, but anyways, I didn't mean to get on that. You know, here, something I should say is you should want to marry a Christian woman. And mostly it looks like it's too late for you. You're stuck with who you're stuck with. But if you weren't married, you ought to, this is for you. If you weren't married, you ought to want to marry a Christian woman. And the reason being is a Christian woman would make a better wife and a better mother. Same way a Christian man should make a better husband, better father. Everybody know who Voltaire was? His name Francois Voltaire, was that his name? You know, the philosopher. The guy hated the Bible. He promised, he was, at the end of my lifetime, the Bible will be gone type of deal. Voltaire wanted Christian servants and a Christian wife. The guy hates the Bible, hates God, hates Christians, but if he wants to get married, he wants to marry a Christian lady because, well, the Christian servants won't steal from him, and a Christian woman is less likely to what they call cockle him, you know, cheat on him. So even he, hated the Bible, hated Christians. And if you're going to get married, you better marry one of them. And our point being is, if you're saved, whether you're a mother, brother, husband, sister, whatever it is, if you're saved, you should be a better husband, better father, better wife, better brother, better cousin, better neighbor, fill in the blank, whatever I'm forgetting. I think it was Finney, maybe it was somebody else, maybe I'm giving someone else credit. What he said, though, if your wife and your children and even your dog are not better for you being a Christian, it's doubtful whether or not you are one. I think that's, I think there's something there. I say all that because most people are probably going to, quote unquote, go home for the holidays. Or maybe you're just going to stay at your house because your house is home for somebody. Maybe, your grandma and people are coming back to your house. Point being is, if you're saved, you really ought to ask, is anybody going to be better for me going home this Christmas or not? The verse is, we just read it. What does he say? Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. I think that's a dynamite Christmas verse. Like I said, the culture at large, they don't really think about little baby Jesus as much as they used to. Think about Santa, think about reindeer, think about elves, and they think about going home. And if you're going, you can use Christmas without abusing it. You're going home anyways. You might as well go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. Like I said, that's a dynamite Christmas verse. There's all sorts of Christmas verses in the Bible aren't in Matthew 2 or Luke 2. If you're going home, don't waste the holiday, use it. And try to do something for the glory of God. I mean, don't just come here and talk about the glory of God. Actually, try to do something for the glory of God this Christmas. And I know why. I know a lot of people aren't going to go home. They're not going to say to their mom, their lost brother, their brother-in-law, cousin, whatever it is. They're not going to say anything about the great things that God had done for them. Because I'm not dumb. I know people. Well, man, if I bring up Jesus. Think of the absurdity of this. If I bring up Jesus, talking about Jesus on Christmas, man, that's going to ruin Christmas. I mean, I know that's what people think. And I'm not dumb. I'm not naive. It very well might ruin your Christmas bringing up Jesus. But, what else are you going to do? So your brother gets mad you talk about Jesus on Christmas. He's going to get mad you talk about Jesus on the 4th of July. Or the, 13th of June. Fill in the blank. If he's going to get mad, he's going to get mad. There's a good chance maybe he's a little bit mindful of little baby Jesus this time of year. Like I said, it might ruin Christmas. It might ruin April 15th. The guy might die and spend forever in hell. Right. That ruins every day for the rest of forever. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you this. Look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is my very favorite Christmas verse. Bible says this. This is a faithful saying. This is true. You can count on this, man. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. There's a word you see it on the streets much. You see the root word of it. What's the root word? It's accept. It's a faithful saying. Man, this is true. You can count on it. It's worthy of all acceptation, meaning this is for everybody to get a hold of and accept it. And what to say? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So you got your little nativity scene, you know, your little baby Jesus away in a manger comes on the radio. It's a good time to say, hey, you know why Jesus came, by the way? The Bible's real clear. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. That's me. That's you. That's every Chinaman you've ever seen. That's the Africans. That's the Muslims. That's everybody. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know why he showed up in a little barn one day? Because you needed to be saved. Hey, and not just you. I'm not pointing my finger at you. It's you and me both. You know, it even finishes, of whom I am chief. If I didn't get saved the way I'm telling you to get saved, I'd be in hell right next to you. You know, so on and so. It's a good opportunity. Like I said, people are thinking little baby Jesus. You know why little baby Jesus came here? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Like I said, not you, me, all of us. Look at Psalm 34, look at verse 6. Another good verse. I'll tell you, I come here, I bring good verses. Every time. Amen. Never brought a bad one yet. This is a good one. It says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen. It's a good verse. It's a good verse to have, you know, a good jumping off point and someone giving their testimony about all the great things the Lord hath done for them, having compassion on them. Amen. You know, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. That's me. He saved me. I cried. He saved me out of all my trouble. You know, all the trouble I brought on myself because of my sin. The Lord saved me. I cried. The Lord saved me. You know what? You can do the same thing. Real easy. I cried. The Lord heard me. Saved me. You can cry. The Lord will hear you. Save you just as quick and just as easy. You know, it has to do with Mark 5, verse 19. Here's this former maniac. And the Lord tells him, he says, go home to thy friends and show them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. I'll just tell you, by the way, FYI, I guess BTW, whatever it might be. If the guy didn't go home and tell his friends the great things the Lord had done for him, he ain't nobody's friend anyways. Right. You know, you're just some jerk they're all chummy with. You know, you're a lousy friend, you go home. The Lord just threw all these devils out of you, go home, and you keep your mouth shut about it. You'd be a real lousy dude. You know, as far as Spurgeon goes, he had a quote. He said, every Christian's a missionary or an imposter. And I think that's, you know, pretty spot on. Well, look at it. Look at Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 19 again. It says, Jesus suffered him not, but say unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. In verse 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So verse 19, Jesus says, go home, tell your friends. Tell your friends all the good things I've done for the great things I've done for you. In verse 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Decapolis literally means the 10 cities. You know, you Wikipedia, like I said, knowledge shall be increased. You get your phone out, you look in Decapolis, it's actually 12 cities. Most of the 10 or 12 cities you've never heard of in all your life. You know, Capitolis is one of them, Gerasa is one of them, Hippo's, I think Hippo's one of them. And there's a list of them. Gadara's one of them. You know, you heard of that one. He's known as the maniac of Gadara. One of them's name is called Damascus. Anybody hear about Damascus in the Bible before? Acts chapter 9, he's breathing out slaughters, the Bible says. He's got these letters, and he's going to go get the Christians down there in Damascus. And there's a church in Damascus that it's making enough of a stink that he's got to go down there and do something about it. And I just said it, there is a church in Damascus, and where did it come from? It got started somewhere. How did it get started? I'll tell you how it got started. Right here, how's it got started. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Notice what he does. He shows up in town after town after town, and says, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. That's what he does. That's his ministry. He's going town to town, telling everybody all the great things. I'll just tell you, by the way, you want to see something get done, do what God tells you to do. Amen. Jesus tells him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee. What does he do? He began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Boy, I bet there that's almost too simple to work. You want to see something get done, do what God tells you to do. But anyways, he goes to Damascus. That's one of the 10 cities. Another one is Philadelphia. You've heard of Philadelphia before, right? You read Revelation 3, Revelation 2 and 3, there are 7 churches get a letter. Man, one of them churches is just dynamite, isn't it? And that's Philadelphia. Where did that church come from? Well, one time Jesus told a guy, hey, go home and tell everybody all the things I've done for you. He goes from town to town to town telling everybody all the things Jesus done for him. And that's something. You know, I'll just tell you, I'll just point out, this guy, he did a real work. And you ought to look, notice Jesus' real specific instructions. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. You know, legion was bad. You know, these unclean spirits are filling this guy up and all that stuff was bad. He doesn't go home just bashing legion. He doesn't go from church to church and, all you kids, stay away from legion. He doesn't do that. He goes and says just what the Lord told him. You go and you tell everybody how good I've been to you. That's what he does. Jesus said, go home and glorify me for all the great things I've done for you. That's a big difference, man. I mean, hopefully you see what a difference it is. He doesn't spend his ministry, you know, legion bashing. He says, man, God's been good to me. Let me tell you, I was in the tombs and the Lord showed up and, man, he saved me. You know, that's what he does. Like I said, you know, I don't like Santa. I haven't spent a whole month trashing Santa. This is the most I've talked about Santa all year, isn't it, Terry? Well, except we tease the kids. I tell the kids, you know, Santa's watching and they're like, hey, shut up. But anyways, you know, don't go home and just bash Santa. Or go home and spend all, whatever, the whole day or week, whatever, however long you're home. Don't just go and gripe about, you know, Democrats or the Catholics or the Muslims, you know, none of this stuff. You know, I mean, yeah, you can, if it comes up, I mean, you know, I mean, preach the truth, but, you know, don't just go home just, well, I'm going to tell them what I think about whatever it is you think about. You know, I'm a King James Bible guy. I'm about as much of a King James Bible guy as you can find. I'm not going home just tell everybody, hey, I hate the NIV. I do hate the NIV. The Bible says, prudent man concealeth knowledge. You know what that means is, you don't have to tell everybody everything that you know. The Bible says, a word fitly spoken, the right word at the right time. It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Amen. For now, why don't you just go home and just glorify the Lord for a little bit? There's a big difference. You know, what the most people in the neighborhood, I'll just tell you, you know, most people in the neighborhood, you know what they think about you here? Was this Faith Baptist Church? Is that what you're called? You know what they think about? You know what they know about Faith Baptist Church? Man, those guys, they don't drink. They don't smoke. They don't dance. All they know about you guys is, man, you guys don't know how to party. They think you guys, all they know about you guys is you don't know how to have fun, man. That's all they think about you. Because all they see is, hey, we don't do that. We don't like this. And we don't like that. And that makes me angry. That's all they see of most people. Why don't you change it up a little bit? I mean, you've been griping for 20 years. Quit griping. Maybe just do this for a year or two. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. That's a much bigger difference. You know, this guy, I mean, he wasn't commanded, by the way, to go home and tell everybody, expound all the fundamentals of the faith. He wasn't commanded to do that. Just go home and tell them what I've done for you. Anybody read John verse 9 before? Man, I like John verse 9. There's a guy who was blind. Jesus opens his eyes. And everybody's all upset about it. They ask his mom and dad, hey, how long has this kid been blind? He says, oh, man, he's been blind 20 years. You know the story. And they ask him. They say, we know this. What did they say? Was he a sinner or no? That's what they say. We know this man was a sinner. That's what they say. And he says, whether he was a sinner or no, he says, I know not, right? He says, what he's saying is, man, you guys are the doctors. You guys know all the theology stuff. Here's what he does say. One thing I know. What does he say? Whereas I was blind, I can now see. What he's saying is, I don't know none of that fancy doctor theology stuff. I just know what he did for me. Amen. That's all I can tell you for sure. I mean, man, anybody can do that. Yeah. I mean, the Lord done something for you? I mean, you can tell us, this is what he done for me. I ain't got a whole lot of chapters and verses, but I can tell you. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Whereas I was hanging out in the tombs with my clothes ripped off and cutting myself and howling at the moon and breaking chains, I don't do that no more. Amen. Some of the other stuff, I don't know. I just know this. I ain't what I used to be. You know, the Lord's done something for me and things are better for me now than they were. And you can go home and you can tell them that. Now, like I said, anybody can do that. I'll just tell you, your testimony might be the best sermon you ever have.
Right.
Wherever it might be. Whereas I was blind, now I see. You might never come up with anything better than that. You don't have to come up with anything better than that. I mean, I'm not telling you don't know a Bible verse or two to ever give to somebody, but you know, you can at least start with, you know, this poor man cried, right? The Lord heard me and saved me out of all my trouble. You can say that much. Now, you might not see, or people might not see, you know, your testimony as great as this guy. I mean, this guy was the maniac of Gadara. Yeah. I mean, this guy, you know, we've been around. I think some of these people lie about their background just to have their testimony better than they think, you know. Yeah. You know, maybe, like I said, I'm negative. Maybe too cynical, too pessimistic. But you know what? A lot of, maybe some of you did grow up right. You weren't naked. You weren't howling at the moon. Weren't ripping your clothes off, cutting yourself and breaking chains and none of that stuff. I'll just tell you, if the Lord didn't have compassion on you, your fate was the same fate as his.
Amen.
Whether you were naked in the tombs or you weren't. Mm-hmm. He was going to die before the Lord showed up and go to hell. You were going to die before the Lord showed up and go to hell. Right. I mean, for all you know, you might have been next door neighbors with this guy in hell forever and ever. And I'll just tell you, your testimony doesn't seem like a big deal to a lot of people, because the problem with most Christian people is their testimony is not a big deal to them. And that's a problem. I think you really ought to get that, man, what the Lord had done, he done a good thing for you. Like I said, you better never forget, your fate was the same as this guy's fate. You might have looked better on your way to hell, but you never mistake, you were still on your way to hell. All your clothes on, you know, doesn't matter. And I think it's your responsibility to realize that, you know, it's a big deal the things the Lord's done for you. It's your responsibility to realize how good God's been to you, and it's your responsibility to make other people see how good God's been to you. Now imagine, here's this guy in John chapter 9. I mean, how do you think he gives his testimony? Hey, is this guy a sinner or not? Then he said, one thing I know. Man, I was blind, now I see. I mean, you think a guy spends his life blind and he says, man, I bet he said, man, one thing I know. I was blind, now I see. I bet he says it with a little bit of oomph behind it when he tells somebody. That's this guy here. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. I bet he began, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Man, I get the feeling the guy goes home, he tells his friends, hey, yesterday I was up in the tombs, cut myself, breaking chains, all that stuff, and look at me now. And I think he's so excited, he goes from one house to the next, to the, all through, all however many cities are in Decapolis. I think he was excited and happy to tell people about it. I know, but that's, you know, I think that's how, I mean, he didn't save 10 cities. He got two good churches started anyways in two cities. Now, I'll tell you what you ought to get. Look at Mark chapter 5 again. Mark chapter 5, verse 8. Actually, I'm sorry, verse 18. I knew that didn't sound right. Suddenly, he was coming to the ship. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Now, you should want to go and be where the Lord is. I mean, people don't, but you ought to. You know, Paul said, I'm a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You've read that before. He said, man, I want to go and be with the Lord, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Meaning, man, I'd love to go and be with the Lord. I'm in a strait betwixt two. Man, I want to go, but I want to stay. It's better to be there, but it's good for you that I'm still here. That's what he's saying. And the Lord, you know, this guy here, he says, man, I want to go with you. Jesus, why don't you just stay here? Go home to your friends and tell them the great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. You know, he left the maniac, had compassion on the maniac, and then he had compassion on all these people, however many people live in the capitalists. You know, the Lord's left you here. Had compassion on you, saved you, and left you here. So you can go home to your friends and tell them the great things the Lord had done. He's having compassion on, I don't know, your lost grandma, your lost cousin, your lost neighbor. You know, fill in the blank. Guy you maybe haven't even met yet. Now, I'll tell you, like I said, I'm not dumb. I'm not naive. I can already hear people's excuses. And I know people, everybody comes from different places. But, you know, I know people think, man, you just don't know what kind of people I'm going home to. And I don't know what kind of people you're going home to. Here's the question. What kind of home did this guy have to go back to? You don't know. And I'll just say what? And it doesn't matter. Whatever home you went to, go back there and you tell them what I've done for you. You know, you maybe grew up in a good home. and you go astray. You know, I mean, it happens. I said in our church, if the Bible didn't say be fruitful and multiply, I'd tell everybody not to have kids. There's so much stuff you never have to worry about before you have kids. Like, I'll just tell you, before you had kids, never worried about whooping cough. And then we had kids, all of a sudden, whooping cough. I was worried about whooping cough. You know, before I had kids, I never worried about my kids going astray. It's just, man, you know, but now that's something you got to worry about. Kids grow up and go astray. You know, the Bible calls God a father. Did his kids go astray? Boy, I'll tell you what, if his kids went astray, you better be worried about it. That's something you should worry and pray about. But imagine, your kid grows up, and he goes out and he does stuff that you know he knows better than to do. And then one day, many years later, he comes home and says, hey, Dad, I was out in the tombs, and man, I was cutting myself, and I was howling at the moon, and I was hanging out with this people, and I was doing this and that. But you know, the Lord had done great things for me, had compassion on me. That'd be a good day for anybody. Or you can imagine, maybe he did come from a rough home. Maybe some of you did come from a rough home. I'll just tell you, if you don't go home and tell him how good the Lord has been to you, who else is going to show up and tell him? I'll just tell you, you're it. If you don't do it, it ain't going to happen. It's been years ago. Look at this verse. Look at Ecclesiastes 9. I'm in church a long time ago, and a guy was talking about this verse here. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 4. He says, for to him that is joined, for him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Years ago, I remember this guy saying, hey, you might hope Charles Spurgeon or fill in the blank, whoever you think is a good guy from history, you know, Charles Finney, fill in the blank. You might be wishing and hoping Charles Finney shows up on your mom's doorstep and tells her how to get saved. It ain't going to happen. And he said, boy, they might have been great lions in their day. They're all gone. And you ain't much. But a living dog's better than a dead lion. I remember that. I mean, like I said, you ain't much. I ain't gonna, you know, puff you up. You're not much, but you're the only hope they got. If you don't go home and say, hey, these are the great things God had done for me and had compassion on them, I'm telling you, nobody else is going to show up and tell them. Jehovah's Witnesses might have something to tell them. The Mormons might have something to tell them, but nobody's going to tell them, hey, this is what the God of the Bible had done for me. You know, and the other excuse I'll tell you, look at Mark chapter 5 again. I think people tell themselves, you know what, I've tried and nobody listens. Well, first of all, I tell you, you know, the Bible says, let us be not weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. What that amounts to is, well, just keep at it. Yeah, maybe you have done that and nothing's come of it yet. I mean, that's a promise in the Bible. Let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And you keep at it. God's promise, you know, we'll reap in due season. I know you're not, you know, our church, there are farmers there. You know what due season is? There's a time you pick and a time you don't. You've had a garden? You might want a tomato, and, you know, April 12th. You ain't going to get one. It doesn't work that way. The other thing is, I'll just ask you, have you really done what Jesus told this man to do in Mark chapter 5, verse 19? What he tells him to do, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on me. I mean, have you done? I mean, I said it's simple. People don't do that. They got theology, they got arguments and criticisms, and man, that's, like I said, it's a positive verse. Just go home and say, man, let me tell you, this is what God had done for me. And that's exactly what he did. And that was the Lord's command. I'll tell you, it ought to point it out. You know, that Mark 5, verse 19 comes after what happens in verse 15. What happens in verse 15, by the way, and we'll close here. Wrap it up. And they come to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. So before Jesus says, hey, go home and tell your friends how good I've been to you, what happens before that happens? The guy puts his clothes on and he sits down at, you know, with Jesus for a little bit. And that's why, you know, the Bible says, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Like I said, most people go home and, you know, they complain about the Catholics. You know, some guys complain about the Church of Christ or the Mormons or the Catholics. Fill in the blank. Democrats, well, liberals. What do Christian people complain about? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All he can say is how this makes him mad and that makes him mad and this makes him mad. You know what I think is, man, it's no accident. The guy sits with Jesus for an afternoon, and then Jesus says, hey, go home to your friends and tell them how great things I've done for you. And that's verse 19, we already read it. That's exactly what he does. He doesn't go home and say smoking's bad and music's bad. He just says, man, God has been real good to me. You know, I know people get confused, but complaining about the world and criticizing everybody's decision is not testifying for Jesus Christ. Like I said, verse 19, after verse 15, after he sits with Jesus for an afternoon, he goes, man, this is what the Lord had done for me. And that's my Christmas message. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. But I'll tell you, if you skip that verse 15, I don't think verse 19 is going to amount to much for you this Christmas. I know it's a busy week, you know, you guys are talking, you got plans for next week, you know, you got 1 week till Christmas, and I know what most, well, man, you got to make cookies, you got to run to the store, I don't know what else you got to do, you know, fill in the blank, man, we got all this stuff we need to do in the next week. Who's got time to sit with Jesus when we got to make cookies and wrap presents and run to the store and make sure we got gas and, you know, all this other stuff people got to worry about? And then what happens? You go home to your mom, you visit with your grandma, your cousin, you leave, you come back here, they're still lost on their way to hell. I just think if this guy spends an afternoon sitting with Jesus and he can go and, you know, maybe not save 10 cities, but start to dynamite churches. I mean, you got all sorts of time in the next week to sit and maybe get something figured out before you go home. I mean, if you want it to amount to something, like I said, he spends an afternoon sitting with Jesus and 10 cities get saved or whatever happens exactly. Like I said, it's a full week, but, you know, I'm sure you can squeeze some time in there to, you know, spend some time with the Lord. Like I said, I think it's a dynamite Christmas verse. Go home to thy friends. You're going home anyways. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And I bet most of you are going home or someone's coming to your house. I mean, here's what it amounts to. Christmas is coming. It's going to come and go. It's going to come and go, and you can either use it or abuse it. Do something for the glory of God or not do something for the glory of God. And then I'll see you next Christmas.
Good Christmas message. But Alan, amen. And, you know, you can, I remember I'll just tell you this real quick and I'm done. Really?